Good evening, everybody. It's good to see you back. Each year during the days of Sefirat HaOmer, when we count the Omer, as it's called, we observe a period of national mourning. M-O-U-R. Mourning. As it says in Shulchan Aruch and Siman Tatzag, Noagim Shelo Lisa Isha. It's customary not to marry a woman. Ben Pesach La'atzeret. Between Pesach and Shavuot. Ad Lag La'omer. Until the 33rd of the Omer. We don't conduct any weddings until 33 days have passed in our counting. Noagim Shelo Staper Ad Lag La'omer. We don't take haircuts. And the Yalkut Yosef adds, "V'acharidim l'dvar Hashem nisarim b'zeh gam b'giluach hazakan." Those that are God-fearing and are careful to be observant, also don't shave. The customs also limit music, dancing, no clothing. So Shulchan Aruch states the reason. Because the students of Rabbi Akiva died during that period. Ramban, Nachmanides, however, gives us a totally different perspective. He compares Shavuot to the last days of Sukkot. The holy days of Shemini Atzeret. The Torah, in fact, calls Shavuot Atzeret. So you see that the comparison wasn't just picked from a hat. There's basis in the Pesukim. Ramban explains, and he, meaning Hashem, commanded the holy days of Pesach, the holiday of Matzot. And he counted 49 days, 7 weeks, like 7 days. And he sanctified the eighth, like the eighth of Sukkot. And the counted days in between Pesach to Shavuot are like Chol HaMoed, between the first and last days of Sukkot. And the last day is the day of Matan Torah, the giving of the Torah. So basically what Ramban says is that when we look at Sukkot, it's an easier perspective. You have the first day and the last day. You have the first day and then 7 days and then the eighth day. Well, first including seven. And then the eighth day is called Atzeret. And in between we call it Chol, but not totally weekdays, secular days. It's Chol HaMoed. Like a holiday. So now Ramban reveals to us, when you look at Pesach and Shavuot and this counting of these 7 weeks, 49 days, look at it like the 7 days of Sukkot and consider it like Chol HaMoed. And the first day of the holiday is Pesach and the last day of the holiday is Matan Torah. In other words, the mitzvah of counting the Omer connects Yitziat Mitzrayim, the exodus from Egypt, with Matan Torah, that famous day on Har Sinai. First, I want to take a closer look at this misunderstood mitzvah of Omer. The Omer was a mincha, a flour offering, brought with barley flour on the second day of Pesach in the Beit HaMikdash. It says in the pasuk, "Ki tavo el haaretz asher ani noten lachem uksatem ketzirah," when you shall come into the land which I am giving to you, you shall harvest or cut down the wheat or the grain. Va'avetem et omer shikzehem la'kohen, you should bring the omer, which is a quantity. Like a pint, a quart, a gallon, a pound, an omer. The first omer of your harvest to the Kohen. It's about 5 pounds of flour. And it was accompanied by a lamb offering as an olah, which is the kind of offering that's burnt totally on the Mizbeach. Amar Rabbi Yehuda, this is Gemara Rosh Hashanah. Mishum Rabbi Akiva, in the name of Rabbi Akiva. Why did the Torah command to bring an Omer specifically at Pesach time? Because Pesach is the time of the harvest of the winter wheat. Bring me for me this offering of this 5 pounds of barley, so that I shall bless through your good deed. I will be prompted, so to speak, to bless your crops. Takes on more meaning that way. Why am I doing it? I want to bring blessing to my crops. So I do this mitzvah, and it triggers a blessing. Good. Second, Sefer HaChinuch. Always a good place to look when you need reason, so to speak, behind mitzvah other than Hashem commanded, which is always the reason. So that you'll pay attention, you'll take note, you'll focus on the great chesed, the great kindness that Hashem does with His creations, that every single year there's a new crop, and we need it. Therefore, since He did us a kindness, it's proper for us to show thanks by taking a portion of it, especially the first portion, and saying, thank you so much for what you gave us. Before we get benefit personally from it. And all of a sudden He says the same thing. And since we're doing nicely by Hashem, by showing proper gratitude, He will bless our crops and will benefit. Sephorno. Ha'omer ayahu da'al ha'aviv. It's a thanks for springtime. Ki'makri b'kuryasa de'la ba'alim. Like someone offering, in the old days, the way farming worked, you were sharecroppers. A person who could not afford a field will go to an owner of a field and say, I will work the field. What percentage will you give me? And for working the field, 70% went to the owner, 80% went to the owner, and 20, 30, 40% could go to the worker, the farmer himself. So it's always proper for the sharecropper to bring the owner a share first, before he takes for himself. So we are using the field that actually belongs to Hashem, should show our understanding of that and bring His portion to Him. Thank you. And why do we bring a korban with it? By bringing an offering, we were praying, davening, sallying for the future. And why do we count? To remind us of the whole process daily. So then the Chag of Katzir, of the harvesting, the actual cutting down of the wheat, will be Shavuot time, and Chag Asif, the ingathering, will be Sukkot time. Very nice. In Shulchan Aruch, the Shach comments, people should not think that now that Hashem gave us Eretz Yisrael in the times of the Mikdash, that it's ours forever. Therefore Hashem commanded, bring the first fruits to the owner, so you don't forget him. Know that you're only there as a sharecropper. It don't belong to you. Halakhically, this offering allowed the Jewish people to begin using the new crops of barley. Just as the two loaves, the Shtei HaLechem, which were brought on Shavuot, allowed us to partake of the new wheat crop. So barley on Pesach, wheat on Shavuot. But that's halacha. Matter of hashkafa. It was a reminder that with all the effort the human being is forced to put in, with all the energy he exerts to produce his own mizonot, he actually produces nothing at all. And nothing belongs to the one down here who calls himself the owner of the field. The person must acknowledge that Hashem, through natural means, provides for the human being. And everything belongs to Hashem until a token sacrifice, a reminder to the human being of Hashem's kindness and control. And only then can the person partake of what we call the fruits of his labor. When our people lived in the desert, before going into Eretz Yisrael, when the man came down from the heavens to feed millions of people every single day for 40 years, it was obvious that we did nothing for our own sustenance. It was all from Hashem. Not coincidentally, the amount for each person was an omer. After we entered the land, after we became independent, in order not to lose the 40-year lesson of the man, Hashem required that an omer be brought annually. But the reason for counting is different. That's the reason for having to bring in omer second night of Pesach annually. Reminder, thank you, prayer, blessing, all those things I just mentioned. Good quick review. Now, why do we count from the omer? Today is 1 day to the omer, today is 2 days to the omer, today is 3 days to the omer. Again, nechinuch. The essence of Israel is Torah. And just because of Torah, there is a creation called the world. Shamayim v'aretz, heaven and earth. It's a pasuk. And the main reason we were taken out of Mitzrayim, leman ta'abdun, you come back to this mountain 50 days later and serve Hashem by accepting the Torah on Har Sinai. Pavuze nistavenu limnot nacharot yom tov shepesach ad yom leinat haTorah. We were commanded to count from Pesach, the day of our freedom, to Shavuot, the day of Torah. Kedei laharot b'nafshenu hachefetz hagadol, to show our great desire, el hayom hanechpad hanechsaf libenu, the day we look forward to with all our hearts. Ke'eved yishav seir, like a slave working in the hot sun wants to go sit in the shade, in the cool. A slave working the field says, I can't wait till I get out. By the way, there's a couple of side questions here. One is, if it's true we want to connect Pesach to Shavuot, why don't we count from the first day? Why the second day? And the quick answer is because the first day was designated specifically and exclusively for the miracle of the Yitzhak Messiah, the Exodus of Egypt. And that day should not be mixed with other inyanim. And therefore we don't count the omer from the first day. We were not commanded to count from the first day. Another question is, why do we count up? If you really want to, if you ask a kid now, okay, Pesach's over, how many more days left to school? They say, oh, there's 32 days to school, 28 days to school, 24 days to school, 14 days to school, 7 days to school, 3 days to school, we're out! They don't count up. We've passed 143 days of school, we got 37 left. No, they don't do that. So why do we count up? Good question. Maybe we'll answer it, maybe we won't. But now we can understand more deeply Ramban's comparison of the days of counting to Chol HaMoed, the intermediate days of the holy days. The holiday of Pesach is like the first day of a holiday. The counting days are like the Chol HaMoed. And the holiday of Shavuot is like the final days. The connecting link between them is that these days are to be used to solidify concepts. The reality of Hashem's conduct of the world that was revealed and taught by the miracles of Yetziat Mitzrayim. And step by step, we're to prepare for a new reacceptance of our Holy Torah on Shavuot. Actually, Shavuot should have fallen immediately after Pesach. You know, it's an interesting point. Barley is considered animal food. Fine flour is human food. The korban brought on Pesach is barley. The korban brought on Shavuot is 2 baked loaves. Chametz. Beautiful challis. To signify that freedom alone means to freak out. It doesn't mean to be human. It means that you were born. But there's no control, there's no development, there's no growth, there's no maturity. But by the time you get to Torah, 49 days later, you've developed and grown by working on yourself into a human being that deserves fine loaves of bread, not barley. If the purpose of coming out was ta'avduna telokim aharazeh, if the purpose of coming out of Mitzrayim was to serve Hashem ahar Sinai, it should have been the next day. But the 49 days of delay can be explained by a mashal. Tane Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai. B'sha'a she'atzu yisrael Mitzrayim, l'ma hayu domim? When the Jewish people came out of Mitzrayim, to what may they be compared? L'ben melech she'amad mecholyo. To a prince who was released from the hospital. Amalo pedagogo, his teacher said to the king, Yelech bincha lemedrese. You got that? Your son should go to school. I had trouble with the midrash because it says la'askoli. I guess it means school. Amalo Amelech, Yit'adden v'yit'aneg b'ni k'shlosha chodashim b'machal m'shteh v'chakach elech l'eskoli. Let him sit and relax and recuperate and rejuvenate and eat, drink, and sun and grow for 3 months, and then he'll go to school. Kach k'yatzum m'mitzrayim dot. So too, when they came out of Mitzrayim, they were like a sick boy who was just released from the hospital. And they needed to build up and recuperate and go through therapy so that they would be able to reach the level of accepting Torah. The Ramchal in Da'at Tibunot compared the Galut in Mitzrayim, the exile in Egypt, to the period of the embryo's development. The Yitziah, the Exodus, was the birth of our holy people. And the 49 days were days of growth. The gifts of knowledge of Hashem's truth, the Emet, revealed in the process called Yitziat Mitzrayim, was subject to self-achievement. In order for us to solidify them in our neshamot, in our souls, to personal service to Hashem. The effects of miracles wear off too quickly. They cool off rapidly. They don't develop into principles that we apply to our daily lives. We were like the sickly prince. We weren't ready. And so for 49 days, our people worked on rising up from the 49 levels of tum'ah, impurity, to a new level of readiness to accept the Torah. And now, like then, bayamim ha'em, bazman hazeh, these days that precede the acceptance of Matan Torah, of the Torah, are holy days of preparation, of study, of solidification of the principles and the foundations of Torah. And therefore we are commanded timimim, complete perfect days. We should be makpid, we should be very particular and fussy not to waste a valuable moment. Especially since Ayetzara, our evil inclination, is especially strong in the days of springtime. The Arizal says, during the year, the potential for bounty and beracha and knowledge to reach the world comes tipin tipin, drop by drop. In the days of Sefirat Ta'omer, Arubot HaShamayim Niftachu, the skylights of Shamayim are open to bring down to us and permit all those emanations to reach our neshamot. How could we waste the time? In fact, I can now answer for you why we count up. It says, there's a famous book on Chinuch by Rabbi Aaron Cutler Zatzal, and in explaining how people don't understand how to properly teach Torah and the Parashiyot and deal with the people that were like angels in the Torah, and the Torah has to describe them in simple terms. And we can misunderstand what the Torah is saying. And just in that little work, it's only like a notebook, he writes, it says that Yaakov Avinu was working 7 years in order to win the hand or earn the hand of Rachel Imenu Aleha Shalom. And the Torah says to us, Zayu be'enav ki yamim ahadim. It felt like a couple of days, few days. And the question is obvious. The person's waiting for something and it's his whole reason for being is all raison d'etre. That he wants to marry this woman and start to build Klal Yisrael, which is why he's alive and he knows it, Ruach HaKodesh. How could you say it was only like a few days? Someone waiting for something desperately. It should feel like forever. But not so. Rav Aaron explains. The man was told, you're a beggar and you're poverty stricken. But I'm going to make you rich. For the next 100 days, I'm going to deposit in an account for you $100,000. I believe $100,000 times 100 days is $10 million. And at the end of 100 days, is that right? You have your palm? $100 million, $10 million in 100 days. Man never saw $50 at once. So he sits and he starts to wait. He says, wow, today's May 1st, August 10th, I got $10 million. June 15th rolls around, and somebody says, you know, today's June 15th. June 15th? I thought it was July 28th already. And by the time July 15th rolls around, the guy says, I can't believe the day didn't come yet. I can't wait anymore. Can't you move it up? You're giving it to me anyhow. And the closer he gets, the longer it feels like. Why? Because he's sitting back doing nothing and waiting. But if I tell a man, I have this job to do. Let's make it something simple. I need a workstation in my office. I have a big office I'm opening up, insurance company. I'm going to have 100 employees, and each one needs a desk, a computer, a telephone. They need a workstation. And I know it's not difficult for you, but for the next 100 days, come in every day and set up just one workstation. And for every workstation you do, I'm going to give you that $100,000. And I need 100 of them. Just, wow, 100 and I get $10 million. At the end of 15 days, when you ask him, so? I already did 15! And you ask him on July 15th, I did 40, I did 50, I did 60, I did 70. Every day, the day of accomplishment, he counts it in his pocket. Like the money's there already, he counts up. So if a person is working on their character, working on their spirituality, working on their purity, working to prepare themselves for the day of Matan Torah that they're so anxiously awaiting, but they know they don't have enough time to reach the level that they must be to be a good keli, a good receptacle for Torah. As they work, they count up. And so in our anticipation of Matan Torah, we say today is so many days to the Omer, and today tomorrow is one more, because I spent the whole day accomplishing. And I have more to my account right now than I had yesterday. Not sitting by, idly waiting. The Sefer Chemdat Yamim says, there's a special heightened Kiddusha that stretches until Matan Torah, the giving of the Torah. Ubahem imsa kol Israel. And in those days, these days, Kol Ish Yisrael, every individual in the people of Israel will find Ezer v'siyua l'takenet nafsho l'kadesha l'tahara. Will find heavenly assistance and aid to correct and fix their soul to make it holy and pure. V'hem yamim noraim omdim rumo shel olam. What we've got here now is a contradiction. These days represent Chol HaMoed. Days of happiness, excitement, anticipation for Matan Torah. And conversely, we accept upon ourselves customs of mourning over the deaths of 24,000 students of Rabbi Akiva. Is it a coincidence that these great Talmidei Chachamim passed away during the days between Pesach and Shavuot? Certainly not. The Gemara in Yevamot explains. Amru Shenem Asar Elef Zugim Talmidim Ayilu Rabbi Akiva. They say that there were 12,000 pairs of students that learned from Rabbi Akiva Migavat Atatifras, from these two cities. V'chulam Meta B'Perek Echad. And they all died in one time period. Mipene Shelo Nagu Kavod Ze Laze. Because they did not treat each other with respect. And there was no Torah. Atsheba Rabbi Akiva, an amazing feat, separate class, not for tonight. But imagine a man well past 80 years old who worked to build the yeshiva with 24,000 students, and he attends 24,000 funerals in 33 days, none on Shabbat. 27 days, almost 1,000 funerals a day. There's only 1,440 minutes in a day. And rather than say, what can I do, Hashem? I tried. I worked, I built, and you took it all away. No. Rabbi Akiva went to Rabotenu Shebadarom Vishina Ahalayim. He went and found new students, a new core of merely Fiena Adu, 5 students. Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Elazar ben Shemua. Vehem emidu Torah otasha. And they reestablished the Torah. Tana kula metu bePesach vadatzeret. Completes the Gemara, the statement, and the time in which they died was the days between Pesach and Atzeret. Says the Gemara, with all the Torah, imagine what it must have been to be admitted to Yeshiva, whose Rosh Yeshiva was Rabbi Akiva, the one who Moshe saw in Shemaim and said, you're giving me the Torah, give it to him. And Hashem said, it's my choice. Don't interfere with my work. He didn't say he wasn't worthy. No, I decided. And with the risk of leaving the world shamim, desolate from Torah, they were all killed. And the death was not simple. It was croup, askara, a breathing difficulty, a respiratory disease, where the patient dies through strangulation. Why such a severe punishment for a seemingly not so severe crime? Where does it say in the Torah, if you don't show respect one to another, the penalty is, I mean, there's all kinds of laws, there's all kinds of punishment, there's all kinds of levels, but this is not in capital punishment land. It's interesting to note that it doesn't say 24,000 students and 4,000 pairs. I saw a comment once that that's to show us that each one's success depends on the other. The Midrash in Bereshit Rabbah tells us that after Rabbi Akiva had chosen the 5 new students, he warned them as follows. Banai, my sons, Harishonim nometu shataim sara elu ba'elu. It wasn't a lack of respect, he said. He said they had sarat ayin. Basically, we call that like a stinginess. Tenu datechem, he advised the 5 new students, shelo tasu kemaseim amdu mil'u et kol ha'aretz Torah. He told them, don't fall into the same trap, and they did not, and they were successful in reestablishing Torah throughout the land. His warning was aimed at Sarat Ayin. Why didn't he say, respect one another? Don't fall into the trap that they did, that they did not show respect. And the simple explanation would be that the Gemara pointed to the result, a lack of respect. And Rabbi Akiva was pointing to the cause, Sarat Ayin. Before we explain what Sarat Ayin actually is, let's see why it deserves such a severe, painful punishment. In Sha'arei Kedusha, Rav Chaim Vital Zatzal states, I won't read it in Hebrew because we're getting late now, one must beware of bad character traits, even more than he is zealous in regards to the positive and negative commandments. For by being a virtuous person, he will readily perform the commandments. Understand as well how the foundation of the performance of mitzvot is moral excellence. And the failure is vice versa. We can now somewhat understand why the Talmidei Rabbi Akiva died. Because had they lived, they would have been the Torah disseminators of the next generation. However, to whatever degree their traits, their midot, were deficient, to that degree their Torah would have been deficient. And says Sha'arei Kedusha, the midot, hachanot, ikariyot, el taryag ha-mitzvot b'kiyumam b'tzulam. They are the essential factor in the performance or the failure to perform mitzvot. Midot are the principles and the fundamentals upon which the 613 mitzvot rest. Rabbi Yudah Segal, Alav HaShalom of Manchester, he said because they were deficient in the prerequisites for Torah achievement, they died during the period of Sefirah, which is the time to ready oneself for the Yom Tov of Shavuot when the Torah was given. One who has Torah without midot, stresses Rav Sigal, Alav HaShalom, has nothing at all. So after that little sidebar, let's go back to Sarut Ayin. What is Sarut Ayin? Rav Chaim Friedlein, Alav HaShalom, says there's a simple way of explaining it. Lo yecholim lispol shelashani lashani tov. A person who can't stand when somebody else has good. It's sort of like suspecting that if you got it, you took it from me. V'zeh gorem, this causes that one will not respect the other. Why? Why not? Because he's taken from me. She has what belongs to me. How can I respect her? She took it. And this trait of Sarut Ayin is contrary to the 48 things that must be developed before a person can become a proper receptacle for Torah. If a person does not have lev tov, a giving, generous heart, if a person is not noseh be'olim chavero, concerned with another's problems, if a person doesn't lomed liyaker et hasheni, learn to value another, a person becomes selfish, a person becomes egotistical, and that person is not a good keli for Torah. Torah is compared to mayim. A strainer doesn't hold mine. A pot holds mine. If there's holes in the personality, it can't hold Torah. Only a person who breaks their natural tendencies can become pleasant, can become pure. Says Rav Chaim, Adam she'eno shovel et tib'o, a person who doesn't break their natural state, their nature, en zocheh lazeh, does not become worthy of being a Torah person. You know, Torah is always looked at like it's a sefer, it's a scroll. We need a scribe to write it. But Torah is a bidi'ah, it's a creation. One of the translations into English of the Torah, the five books, is called the Living Torah. And if you look at it, something alive. Some people don't like the smell, or most people don't like the smell of fish. They walk, oh, fish, and they leave the room. A tannery has a horrible smell. So a person who's fine and refined walks into a tannery, they smell that smell. And they run out. The Torah is like a person, Kabiyachol. And if it comes in an area where it's not pleasant to be, it runs away. So a person has to create themselves into the type of person that's sweet smelling and aromatic to the Torah. Not a stench that chases the Torah away. And that's all dependent on a person's midot. Most seriously, this concept of Sar Ayin, it could put a person in a category that Rabbeinu Yonah and Sha'aret Teshuvah calls, Chas V'Shalom, it shouldn't happen, Soneh Hashem. Inyan Soneh Hashem Nimsa Lefamim Gam Ba'anashim Shem Osim Et HaMitzvot. A person can be observant. V'nizharim Mikol Avera Maaseh V'Lashon. And is very careful not to violate any of the negative commandments and not to speak a word out of line. Im Nafsham Ra'ah. However, if their soul is spoiled, ובקרב ליבם יקשה להם כאשר הם עוסקים בתורה, but and they feel a pain, they feel a jealousy when their friend succeeds or even involves themselves in the constant study of Torah. ויירא בעיניהם ביות בני אדם עובדים בהשם ראים מלפניו, and they see others observing Hashem. Probably a matter they can't keep themselves. And they find that to be something that excites them in a negative way. They want to serve Hashem, but it disturbs them when someone else excels in the love of Hashem. It's like someone who doesn't want to see others respect the king. Why? Because he hates the king. And says Rabbeinu Yonah, this is an incline that once a person starts to slide, it only gets worse. Im hotziu machshavtam ra'ah la'po'al, if they're able to take their negative thoughts about another observant person into deed, alidei ma'aseh, shehem mini'im et lev b'nei adam me'esek ha'torah me'netzvot, where they prevent others from doing mitzvot, prevent others from learning Torah, ki hem son'ei Hashem, because they themselves are the haters of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. V'chein ha'anashim asher enam sara b'chvot tamidei chachamim ushim v'tzadikim. And so too, people who have this midah of Ayin Sara in regards to respecting Talmidei Chachamim, the ones who are straight and tzaddikim, they're categorized as Sonei Hashem. Sarut Ayin is so bad that good person we started with, who's observant and keeps the laws and likes to do things that are right, can end up in this horrible category called Sonei Hashem. And this ultimately leads to a situation where they can't stand to see the spiritual success of another. In effect, their purpose in doing mitzvot is turned upside down. From the Shem Shamayim, for the sake of heaven, L'shem Atzman, for the sake of themselves. Actually, the test of a person's personal motives, of whether it's L'shem Shemaim or not, is one's reaction at seeing the success of another in their spiritual pursuits. If one reacts with true happiness, it's a sign one seeks Kibbutz Shamayim. You know, tomorrow morning, the Daf Yomi Niks are going to finish Masechet Berachot. It's been 2 months and 4 days, 2 months and 3 days since Siyum HaShas. They're going to finish 63 pages of Shas, which is the end of Masechet Berachot, Bezat Hashem. And all over town, and all over the country, and all over the world, people are going to be making Siyum. And there's going to be people participating. And they'll come and say, wow, how great, could you believe this guy made Siyum? Could you believe how many people are doing it? Can you believe what the Siyum HaShas did? And they're going to be excited for Kibbutz Shamayim. And the others are going to say, Daf Yomi, they don't learn Be'iyun, they think they know what they're doing, they don't remember anything, blah, you know why? I didn't do it. Very dangerous attitude. If one reacts with true happiness, their own actions are L'shem Shamayim. If one cannot stand to see another's success, one is showing they're not out for Shem Shamayim, they're out to shame themselves. In Pirkei Avot, which we also study in these days of Sefira, there's an expression in Aramaic, the ishtamash betaga chalaf. The one who uses the crown dies. The one who uses the crown of Torah for personal gain has no right to exist. That's the danger of Sarayim. Besides possibly being a Sonei Hashem Chas V'Shalom, one who suffers from this spiritual flaw can possibly lose one's life because of personal benefit from the crown of Torah. The Tamidim of Rabbi Akiva, who their Rebbe said, don't have eyes, Ayin Salah, like my former students. For us, if we met them, we wouldn't spot it, we wouldn't notice it, we wouldn't even imagine it. Imagine someone who learned in the yeshiva of Rabbi Akiva, what kind of Tamid Chacham he was. We wouldn't see anything. We would faint from their holiness, from their knowledge. We would be in shock, in awe. But Rabbi Akiva himself, after they were lost, said to his new students, Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yosef, etc. He told them, don't have sarut ayin like my former students. Their Torah was to elevate themselves in the eyes of others. And they lost their worthiness to live and to be the disseminators of Torah. We're in the days for preparation. We have to learn to be gidolim. It's days where katnut, small, is thrown out, and gadlut, big, is caressed. Katnut is infantile. An infant that wakes up in the middle of the night and cries, cares not that daddy has a big appointment tomorrow, or that he has a trip to go on, or that mommy was cleaning all day or working all day or has to do something in the morning. That's so important. Feed me. Feed me. Change me. Pick me up. Walk me around. Entertain me, 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 me. When a baby is born, the fists are clenched, holding on to everything for me. Katnut, infantile. Self-centered. Not self-centered. There is nothing but self. That's called katnut. Gadlut. Maturity. Feeling for others. Doing for others. When a person passes on, their hands are open. They finally learn to give. Some people live their whole lives to 120 years as infants. And some people learn gadlut at a very young age. Tzfirat HaOmer is a time of building. We want to build a Yehudi. I went to visit somebody today. The person has been going through a lot. In the family, he himself, and in the last few months, he tells me, I always thought, no matter how good a person was, no matter what they gave you, no matter how kind and generous they seemed, they always wanted something for themselves. But I met people in the last few months that I just cannot believe that people like this exist on this planet. It was second day of Pesach. The man is in a hospital in Manhattan. And a person he never met in his life shows up at the hospital, very Hasidic looking. Was Hasidic. And tries to help him with his needs, kosher food, and what do you need, and can I help you? And as they get to talking, he tells them, where do you live? He tells them, I live in Borough Park. He tells them, Borough Park, this is NYU Medical Center, 33rd Street and 1st Avenue. How'd you get here on Yom Tov? He says, I walked. It's only about 2 hours. Unfortunately, the same person in the last several months had a lot of contact with people from Chai Lifeline. He said, I can't believe these people. Take the boy to lunch, take the thing, I want to play, I want to help, I want to do, I want to come, they call up, they come visit, they do, they bring, they take, they drop off, they pick up, the appointments, you have an appointment, you then you have anybody to take you, or not to take you, who's going to spend time with you, who's going to sit with you, who's going to learn with you, who's going to be with you. And I found out, he told me, they don't want anything except to help. You know something? That means the Yehudim. So what are you talking about? He tells me. It says in the Gemara. Yehudim, Rachmanim, Baishanim, Gomlei Chasadim. They feel mercy for others. They feel shame. And they do chesed. But there's a difference between a complete Jew and one that's born. We're living in a time of opportunity. We're living in a time where Hashem opens up the heaven to give us heavenly assistance and self-perfection so that we can become Yehudim, so we could stand at our Sinai again, so Torah will smell sweetness in us and come running attracted to us. We're living in a time where the skies are open, says the Arizal. And instead of drop by drop, siyata d'shmaya, to grow and improve and get better, we have floodgates open. And we're counting days, up, not down. We're counting days, not empty with waiting, but days of accomplishment. We can't waste them. We're working towards gadlut, maturity in the spirit, maturity in the soul. We're working at a time where we want to accomplish, and so it moves quickly. Ki yamim achadim. There's no time left. I didn't count yet, so I can't tell you what tonight is. But it's so many days to the Omer, and tonight will be one more, and tomorrow will be one more, and the next day will be one more. And you're putting it in your pocket. You're improving and growing. You can't. You don't have enough time. Not it takes too long. That's what Sefirat Yom is about. The happiness and the mourning. The Chol HaMoed between freedom as an animal who eats barley to Avdut HaShem, maturity of working L'Shem Shamayim for someone other than self. And the greatest other is H-I-M, Him Himself. To get ready for Matan Torah is not easy. It's a day by day process. In the Mishnah Navot, that lists the 48 Kinyanim, the 48 necessary acquisitions that a person must make in their personality and neshama to be a keli of utensil to receive Torah, Rav Aaron Cutler said, Alav Shalom, it's not a list that you need some of them. It's a detailed list that you need all of them. In 8 days have passed, how many of them have you learned? Forty-one days to go. And the 49th day there is for review. The great yeshivas of Europe learned one midah every day. Be'iyun. So they can incorporate the lesson like that prince who left the hospital in our mashal. To get stronger and better and healthier. So when the day comes to enter his school, he'd be healthy and ready to learn. Sharei Kedusha Torah, Midot are the basis for Torah. And a person without Midot has no Torah. That's our job. That's our sefirah. That's what this time period of life is about. Use it productively. Don't waste time. Don't sit back and relax. Work. Get ready. It's the day for which all of the universe was created, the day the Torah was given to the Jewish people. As we work towards it, we should be successful. And if we are, we can have a rejuvenation of our acceptance of Torah. Amen.